Welcome back. Item 8.1, outstanding minutes of meetings, a report by the Director of Resources, Mr Blair.
Thanks, Provost. As members are aware, this is the last regular council meeting prior to the 2017 election. Therefore, it is necessary to invoke Standing Order 7.13. Essentially, this Standing Order, the council has been asked to adopt the previous practice of the first meeting of the council, which will be held on the 23rd of May, of approving any outstanding minutes of other committees of the Council. Therefore, today, Council and Provost, you are being asked to approve the two recommendations set out on page 85 of today's papers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr Blair. Councillor Johnson.
Thank you very much. I agree that we should invoke the standing order and go ahead as suggested by the AIM Director.
Does Council approve the recommendations? Thank you. Item 8.2, Service Plans 2017-18, report by Chief Executive, Mr Laurie.
Thank you, Provost. This report seeks approval for the Council's service plans for 2017-18. These are being brought forward now to provide governance for the start of the financial year 2017-18, based on the three-year priorities set out in the Single Midlothian Plan. It is recognised that these may be the subject to revision in line with any new priorities following the local elections. The service plans have been circulated to councillors by email. Copies are available in the members' library, and today members have been asked to approve the 2017-18 service plans.
Thank you, Mr Laurie. Councillor Johnson.
Thank you very much. I agree that we should approve these service plans. I've spoken to the head of service who deals with the service plans that I'm involved with, and my colleagues have spoken with their portfolio holders. I've spoken with the head of service that they deal with, and we're all agreed that we go forward.
Does Council approve the recommendations in their report? Thank you. Item 8.3, Scottish Funding Capital Grant Fund update, report by Mr Blair, Director of Resources.
Thanks again, Provost. This report updates Council on the position with the Scottish Government grant funding bid application submitted by the Council. Members will recollect in June 2016 advised the Council of three bids being submitted to the Government, namely Mayfield Industrial Estate Regeneration Project, Regenerating Rosewell, and finally the Newton Grange Track-to-Train programme. Council at that time also requested that I report back, and today I am presenting a mixed picture for the Council for determination of the bids by the Scottish Government. Firstly, I required to advise Council that the Mayfield project was unsuccessful at stage one of the bidding process. More positively, the Government on Thursday the 9th of March 2017 announced that the track-to-train project based in Newton Grange was to receive funding of £360,000, subject to the necessary technical checks and due diligence being undertaken. Therefore, as set in Section 5.1 on page 98 of today's papers, this project will be overseen by the Council's Border Rail Economic Development Group. The third and final bid submitted by the Council, entitled Regenerating Rosewell, was unsuccessful for the reasons set out on page 93 of today's papers, and I've taken the opportunity to explain the rationale for the decision to not to approve this funding. Also, since the June 16 Council, the Rosewell Development Trust have worked closely with me and my colleagues, and considerable further work has been completed to develop, firstly, the Trust business plan, progress other funding commitments, including big lottery funding, and also working with technical advisers to work up proposals. The development of the Trust is all incumbent on the whole package of funding being in place. Accordingly, subject to Council approval, the next steps in the Regenerating Rosewell project, I am proposing that, firstly, I intend seeking a meeting with the Scottish Government urgently regarding the reasons and going behind the explanation why the funding bid was successful. The Council authorised me to continue to work with colleagues and work directly with the Trust. and that he asked me to report back to Council post the 2017 election. Therefore, today, Provost and Council, in summary, I'm asking you to consider the six recommendations as set out on page 100 of today's papers. Thank you, Provost.
Thanks, Mr Blair. Councillor Parry.
Thanks, Provost. Thanks, John. I am incredibly pleased for Track to Train and their successful application, and I wish them well in their project, but I am obviously gutted for the two unsuccessful projects that didn't make it, and particularly the application for funding for the Rosewell Development Hub. Dave and his team have been busting an absolute gut to get this project off the ground. They've done everything right. They've planned, they've applied for funding after funding after funding, and now they're at the stage you see in other funding look less stable as a knock-on effect. And I completely appreciate the work that you and others have done there. I appreciate the support. But in September 2015, we passed a motion here in this chamber. It was moved by Councillor Coventry and seconded by the Council Leader, which clearly stated that the Council would, and I quote from that motion, "Council agrees to underwrite this project in a manner similar to that undertaken in supporting a community hub for Woodburn in 2011 through match funding from developer contributions or the Council Capital Plan." And I just want some clarification on that. Has there been a deviation from what we agreed as part of that motion?
Mr Blair.
Thanks, Provost. In terms of the September meeting, the motion was exactly as you said, and the Council approved the motion unanimously. However, it was incumbent on officers preparing a feasibility study for the Council to consider future funding. That was in the minutes of the September Council meeting. So the motion was passed, but with that caveat that a feasibility report has been prepared. And we have brought reports to this Council, as the one I referred to back in June. There's also been other subsequent reports on Rosewell regeneration.
Councillor De Vink.
Could I refer to the Mayfield Industrial Estate Repair and Regeneration Projects? This application was unsuccessful at stage one. Now, may I just remind members that one of the units at Mayfield Industrial Estate, which had stood empty for almost 20 years, was taken over by a private individual who then turned it into a visitor's attraction that is currently achieving more than 550,000 visitors per annum. Is it not much better to let enterprise look after it? And what we could do with that area is to do the infrastructure really well, and then we get more people trying to do what Scott Fairgrave did with Rice, and that would really do a much better job than us getting ourselves involved in restoring any of the industrial units ourselves.
Would you get to respond to that, Mr Blair?
Yep, in terms of the industrial units in the Mayfield area, Councillor De Vink makes some valid points, but it's a fairly moot because the funding has failed in terms of the Capital Grant Regeneration Fund, and the main reason it failed is there was no matched or funding from other sources, and I think part of the whole Mayfield initiative will develop going forward. In terms of the Rice Centre, yes, it has been a successful industry, but they've also worked close partnership with all parts of the Council, including our licensing, planning, education and other colleagues.
Councillor Emery.
Thanks very much, Provost. It's my intention to add some wording to the third bullet point, or should I say recommendation C, and that is that we now implement the Council motion passed in 2015, which was to underwrite the project. And I'm going to suggest here today that the £670,000 that has been unsuccessful at this juncture, that we advise Rosewell Development Trust that we are prepared to underwrite that £670,000. And I do so on the basis, Provost, that the Development Trust came into being in October 2010. Since then, £600,000 has been raised for community activities. Subsequently, the Trust have negotiated with Crown Estates and managed to acquire the piece of land for the development of a hub for £1 on the commercial market at £340,000. Now, to my mind, they have worked tirelessly, and Councillor Parry already alluded to that, that they have worked tirelessly to do so. They have subsequently gone round the community and asked the community what they want, so they've got community buy-in. And I don't know how much further this council has to ask them to go without actually putting some money into the project. And I'll stay right here and right now. Out of the £5 million of community of developer contributions, the community is getting awarded through this council £135,000. There's over £1,800 goes per unit goes to the Border Rail Line. When the Community Trust went to the Borders Rail Economic Development Trust or whatever it's called to ask for some money, they were told they don't qualify because they're not on the line. Now, I say to this council, and I've asked the question to the Chief Executive before when he was reporting on this beautiful community chest that we have for Borders Rail Line, can others out with that make a contribution to the Borders Rail Line, i.e. and help pay Midlothian Council's deal with the Scottish Government and Network Rail to get the rail line, can they get access to that fund? And give the Chief Executive was very fair about it. It was 50 on and 50 off at that time because he wasn't terribly sure, but he didn't think that they would qualify. Well, they don't, and I've subsequently found out from there. Now, I just feel that, you know, £135,000 out of £5 million of developer contributions coming into this council isn't a heck of a lot back to the community. And only to say that by 2020, Rosewell will have grown from 1,220 inhabitants to circa 3,500 inhabitants, and they will not have a community facility there. Now, in moving this addendum or this additional wording, I will also say that the hopefully Midlothian Council, along with Rosewell Development Trust, will actually go in and bid to the Scottish Government in the regeneration programme that actually is opened back in June of this year. And I don't think it's a matter of giving anything, because all I'm asking this council here right now to do today is to underwrite that money by making it available if there is a need. And I say so on the basis that I looked through a number of the projects that were successful in the regeneration fund put up by the Scottish Government. Most of these funds enjoy match funding or support, funding support by the various local authorities. In this case, the regeneration, the Rosewell Development Trust went to that regeneration fund and asked for it, along with Midlothian Council, with no financial support whatsoever. And I just get rather bitter about the whole thing. Here's a community that's going to grow like Topsy, over 100% increase in the number of the population that will live in Rosewell, and yet this council is standing idly by. And I say that very seriously, because I do believe that a 10,000 square foot development up there is not going to be asking the council for one single penny piece when it opens. It will be there on behalf of the community, but taking Midlothian residents in. Now, I don't know what else we've got to do here to fight our corner as three local members for the local area. And I was delighted when the motion went through in 2015. I actually spoke, Provost, in saying I didn't think we should have needed to do that. I'm blinking glad we did now, because at least it's something to fall back on. And I really do want to see this happening. It's been a long process. These people work tirelessly to keep things going. They penny pinch along the way. And just lastly, Provost, I don't quite understand how the Scottish Government is making a contribution for the Scottish Government People and Communities Fund, so far of £220,000, to the Trust to keep projects going in there, and yet it's not a viability that they have when you come to a community hub. Now, do departments, I know we went used to go through the silo mentality here, but in Scottish Government, our departments, same department, may I hasten to add, not speaking to each other. Provost, I think it's the right thing to do. I hope the council will support these words going in here today, because all it does is enact the motion that we passed in 2015. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Mr. Baxter.
Thank you, Provost. Firstly, I'd like to say I agree with what Councillor Emery said. But I'd like to go back to something Councillor Devinck was talking about with Mayfield Industrial Estate. Something I think that we should add into the mix, if you like, is that a few years ago a report came out that showed that Mayfield Industrial Estate was the windiest industrial estate in Scotland. And I then half-seriously suggested putting a wind turbine up there, which would then not only help to provide much-needed energy for the industrial estate, but would also provide a huge contribution to the community. And this, there was a report on the radio, I think it was this morning, somewhere where they're building wind turbines and all the money from that is going into building houses, hundreds of houses. So the economics are there. And I would suggest that now that we as a council have given a commitment to developing expertise in renewable energies, this is the kind of thing where we can help the community, we can help the local businesses, and we can help economic development in places like Mayfield. So can I suggest that we actually add that into the mix and that we do consider it?
Mr. Blair.
Yes, I'll deal with Councillor Baxter's point first. Yes, I'll take that back. In terms of the points made by Councillor Imre and Councillor Parry, there was also a report to Council in June 2016 giving an update on the Rosewell Hub and updating the work it was undertaking, which I covered in my presentation. And it's wholly incumbent on a full business case being developed to assist the Trust, and there's progress being made. Turning to the report in front of the Council today, section 4.5 on page 97, I've got to remind Council of our obligations to follow the public pound, and that set out the requirements of that policy as incumbent on officers on behalf of the Council. And also regarding the proposal to underwrite funding in the report, on the report implications on page 98, I make the statement and I reinforce it. It is reinforced at this stage that any funding commitment from the Council would be considered premature and would not be prudent at this stage. So I put these markers down in addition to the comments I made earlier. I feel I've got to respond to the points made by the Councillors, Provost. Thank you.
Councillor Coventry.
Thanks, the Provost. I just want to speak in support of my colleagues, Councillor Imrie and Councillor Parry, in support of the Rosewell Community Development Trust. This Council passed a motion unanimously on 22nd of September 2015. Here it is here. And it states here quite clearly that the Council agrees to underwrite this project in a manner similar, etc., etc. Now, if the Council can... If we pass a motion like that, we have to act on that. It was passed unanimously. That will allow the Community Development Trust to access other funds. They will keep looking for the external sources of revenue, and it's important. We've got a community here which has been pointed out previously is going to grow by more than 100% over the next few years, and they've got no community hub. It's vitally important for the people of Rosewell. And furthermore, to generate £5 million in contributions and to receive back £135,000, I mean, please, you know, we are here to represent that community, and that's what we're doing here this afternoon. You've got cross-party support for that, and I hope you're listening to us here. Thank you.
Mr Blair.
Thanks, Provost. We focused on the September 15 motion. That's clear. There was also a report went to Council on the 15th of December 2015, and I was instructed to report back to Council once all relevant information has been received and evaluated. And that's manifested itself in the bid that went to the Scottish Government Regeneration Fund. So I'm listening to points being made, but it's also incumbent on me as a chief officer to set out in the report the requirements to follow the public pound and mayoral statement. I consider it premature at this stage to invest in the project without further work. I also said in my introductory remarks I'm happy to progress the further work. So I'll leave it at that point at the moment, Provost.
Mr Fairley, did you want to come in there?
Thanks, Provost. Just to clarify the position in terms of the amendment, as I understand from Councillor Imrie, I'm reinforcing the underwriting of the £670,000 that was bid from the Regeneration Grant Fund. That would result in a call potentially on the Council's General Services Capital Plan, and there is no members should be aware there is no provision for that sum at present. When we reported on the General Services Capital Plan to February Council, we identified that the plan, based on the debt cap that Council had set, was expected to be fully committed. Subsequent to that meeting, Council discussed the investment and the replacement of Dunderhall Primary School, which further exacerbated pressure on the capital plan. So it really just to make Council aware that there is no headroom in the plan, and as we said in February, further projects being added in, such as the call for Rosewell, would require us to evaluate what is in the plan and prioritise. And I suppose that would be a decision for Council to look at in terms of the impact of that when the next Council considers the plan when it meets in June 2017. So just really to share that the financial implications of the amendment and the underwriting potentially as it would stand if the Trust was unsuccessful with Council today.
Councillor Mulligan.
Yeah, Provost, I'm kind of somewhat astounded here, John, because you talk about us taking that decision here today. That decision's already been taken. That decision was taken when we passed the motion unanimously here. And if it hasn't been accounted for, then you guys need to explain how it's not been accounted for. I would have expected that to be in your minds all the way through this. This isn't us taking a decision here just at the last minute. This was a clear-cut decision that if Rosewell Development Trust were unsuccessful, that this council would underwrite it. I'm really sorry, I can find nothing, and there's nothing in any other reports, John, unless you want to point them to me, that have came in front of this council that have reversed the decision of that motion. There's nothing I've seen here to councilify, if that's a word, any change to that. There's a decision being taken, and I can recall nothing that has reversed that decision.
You want to respond to that, Mr Blair?
No, it was clear in the September motion. What I was updating Council on was subsequent meetings, 15th of December 2015, 9th of February 2016. There was also one in 28th of June 2016, and it was all predicated on the business case for the Trust, and also in the June 16 Council, we submitted the three Capital Grant Regeneration Fund bids. So there has not been any reversal. I'm merely updating Council on the unsuccessful Regeneration Fund bid. Another point I'd like just to make going forward, and Councillor imprehended at some of the other projects. I think lessons going forward is maybe, as a council, through officers, and more importantly through politicians, we should be looking to lobby as part of submissions to projects. Nothing for it at this stage, Provost.
Councillor Beattie.
Thank you very much, Provost. I'm sure it'll come as no surprise to colleagues that my concern is around the impact on those projects that have not been successful. And while I congratulate those that have, even if it's only partially in some cases, and there's a shortfall of the aspiration, the implications for the Mayfield Industrial Estate are quite consequential, I think. And it would be helpful to hear from the Director what the anticipated impact is, particularly in the light of the fact that, as a council, a great deal of effort and energy from many people in this chamber at this time have gone into trying to support businesses, trying to move enterprise in Midlothian forward. We know from anecdotal evidence as well as actual evidence that there is a shortage of good quality units in industrial and business parks around the county. And for that reason, whilst we are encouraging our young people to enter into apprenticeships and training opportunities and even to set up their own businesses, the implications of a lack of affordable, accessible and reasonably local space presents quite a number of issues, I think, around this. And whilst I don't in any way disregard the last comments that the Director has just made about the lobbying and the greater joined-up communication when bids are going forward and perhaps more support can be given, I think that's a lesson to be learned, quite rightly, as already has already been observed. But I'd be grateful if I could have some reassurance that there would be more joined up thinking around exploring opportunities as to how we might better support the initiatives to improve the quality and indeed the restoration of those units that are Mayfield Industrial Estate, because obviously that's a significant amount of business and employment opportunities that may well be lost to us if we don't focus on that to some degree. I'm not suggesting for a moment that I don't think that officers, and in particular John Blair himself, is unaware of this. I know he and Mary both have been greatly joined up in their thinking around the endeavours towards keeping businesses alive and employment and training opportunities thriving. But I'd really be grateful for some reassurance, as this is my last council meeting, that going forward there will be some definitive and emphatic focus on this. Thank you.
Mr Blair.
Yeah, I mean, that Councillor Beattie's point started on the specifics of Mayfield, but across the council there is a number of industrial estates, both in council ownership and private ownership, and it would be our intention, myself and my colleague Dr Smith, to come forward to the new council probably in the after the summer recess with a strategy for our industrial estates and investing in Midlothian, because as we hear regularly in this chamber, Midlothian is open for business. Midlothian is booming. We're the fastest growing place in Scotland, and that covers a number of facets, including industrial units and businesses. And they're also in Midlothian. We don't have a significant number of massive employers, but we have a tremendous number of local businesses meeting needs both within Midlothian and also the wider Scotland and beyond.
Councillor Coventry.
Thanks, Provost. Just to come back to the situation we arose, well, as my colleague Councillor Milligan has pointed out, we as a council made this decision to underwrite Rosewell's £670,000 in September 2015. Now, by doing that, it allows the Development Trust to access other funds. It may well be that the council does not need to spend that money. It may well be that the council does not need to spend that money. But if we, as a council, have made that decision, we have to follow through. Otherwise, what is the point of these motions being passed unanimously?
Councillor Russell.
Thank you, Provost.
Obviously, I can't not miss this opportunity to raise the issue of the Woodburn Hub. It has been mentioned by Councillor Parry that the arrangement had been made, similar arrangement had been made in 2011 to underwrite that particular bid for the Woodburn Hub. Unfortunately, we were not successful with our big lottery bid. And in interim, money has been spent with a development worker to help move the process along. And then that contract finished. There were a couple of council officers involved in the project. Unfortunately, that stalled as well. And we're now in 2017. And all we have in the Dalkeith and Woodburn area is the Midlothian Advisory and Resource Centre, which is well used by the community. And we have the Cowden Pavilion, again, which is well used by the community. But that is all we've got. And we've got all these houses that we're agreed to build. There are many there, and there will be many more built, and we would not have any community facilities. And now we've been told by the officer that that agreement way back in 2011 is not worth the paper it's printed on.
Councillor Parry.
Thanks, Provost. I know that the motion has been proposed and seconded, but I do just want to add my own support to that, and I'd actually like to go a little bit further, if my colleagues agree. And it was Councillor Coventry just alluded to it there, is that one of the particular problems that Rosewell is having is that when they are going forward for other funders, they are looking for that letter of support for the council. As an official letter of support, it needs to be there. We've not got it. And I do appreciate the comments about following the public pound, but what about following the Rosewell pound? I mean, we've got an area who the residents, the new residents that are moving in, essentially their developer contribution money are paying for the Borders Railway and other projects and such. Like, let's follow the Rosewell pound. And I cannot be clearer. Gary, I think we're all fully aware of what this means, and I think I'm happy to proceed on that basis, as I think we all are, unless anybody else is otherwise minded.
Dr. Smith.
I might be a bit hazy about my facts here. However, if we go back to the original motion, it says, understands that the Rosewell Community Development Trust continue to seek additional resources of funding to complete capital build of the project, and that the Council agrees to underwrite this project in a manner similar to that undertaken in supporting the community hub for Woodburn in 2011 through match funding from developer contributions. So in 2011, and I think we've had this discussion here at Council, they didn't agree to underwrite the building of a community hub in Rosewell. What they agreed to give you was support, so you had your development worker and you had other bits and pieces. It wasn't agreed to underwrite the development of a hub. And I think that's where the wording comes in there that's skewed it. So what you're asking there is, why haven't we gone forward with that? What John has pointed out is, we have had staff working with the Development Trust looking at that. So when you looked back at the council paper for the Woodburn Hub, there wasn't hundreds of thousands of pounds set aside for a community hub in the 2011 paper. And I think this is where the support that John has put in has been similar to that was in the Woodburn Hub. But I haven't got the exact figures that were set aside, but it wasn't hundreds of thousands.
Councillor Russell.
Thank you, Provost. And unfortunately, I haven't got the paperwork either, because obviously I wasn't anticipating to be involved in this particular debate, although obviously I would hope that Rosewell would have had the opportunity to have match funding with regards to this. There was an amount of money mentioned in that particular, and sadly I've not got the paperwork, so I won't quote anything that I haven't got anything to substantiate in front of me. But that was the feeling of this council at that time, that that's what was agreed. And obviously other organisations have taken a similar meaning from that.
Councillor Bennett.
Thanks, Chair. I wasn't going to come in, but they've mentioned the Woodburn Hub. There is a big difference between what happened in Woodburn and what's been proposed for Rosewell. Because Woodburn did have a leisure centre. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it was riddled with asbestos. It was costing the council £120,000 a year just to maintain it. Mm-hmm. And it was based on demolishing it and seeking funding for a new hub. that the council, I can't mind the figures off the top of my head, but and we did put a development worker into place, and we've had snags with the Coal Industry Social Welfare Organisation along the way, but that there is a stark difference that Woodburn did have a hub, and that's now for about, I don't know when it was demolished, maybe 7-8 years. Yeah. Council saved £120,000 a year by demolishing the hub.
Do you want to respond, Mr Blair? No?
Just on the point regarding Woodburn, Councillor Russell's been in touch with me, and Councillor Bennett, I've got a meeting with Mary and colleagues on Friday, and I would hope to meet up with the councillors next week in regard to the specifics of Woodburn, and we'll clarify the facts and the points that were raised here.
Councillor Emery, would you care to sum up? On your
thanks, Provost. I was just going to suggest that I do that. And you've obviously got a busy Friday, Director, given that your meetings seem to be meeting just about every councillor at the moment. However, no, seriously, Provost, I mean, I think, and I thank all the officers for trying to put me off. It ain't going to work. I'm determined to get this through, along with my two colleagues in Midlothian West. We've worked tirelessly with the community to support them in every step of the way. There's a business case there, Director. It's all been made. In fact, actually, it stacks up when the building opens as well. So it's not as if the community are going to come back and say to the council, oh, boo-hoo, it doesn't work. Can we keep on having the yearly handouts or the monthly handouts? It all stacks up. Business case is there. There's people on that community trust, or development trust, should I say, are ex-business people. So we're not talking about just a bunch of people that think it's a great idea. We're talking about professional people that have given their time and energy in order to get this brought to fruition. Now, the matter is that unless the motion in 2015 has a timeout to a date, then get it implemented. That's all we're asking for. Get it implemented. Let Rosewell know that the money is there in the event that they're unsuccessful with going in for the bid back into the Regeneration Fund in June. And also, I have to say, I had experience in Loanhead, and we couldn't get money out of the lottery. And the reason why we couldn't get money out of the lottery, because we didn't have funding from the council. And as soon as we started to get money pooled together, all of a sudden, the doors opened, the money was available, and we lived to see the cabin in Loanhead today. So it is direct result of council intervention can actually unlock a number of doors, particularly in grant aid and grant funding, and I just move that we get on with the job. Thank you very much for your concern, officials, but as an elected member or elected members, we are quite happy to go on and do the job, get the money made available, and that means that the community trust, or the development trust, should I say, can go back in to these lottery bidders and actually make the case that Midlothian is supporting them. And I think Councillor Parry saying that get the letter there as well, of course it should be there. For goodness sake, the community is going to do something that we're unable to do, and that is build a facility. For goodness sake, get on with it. It's government policy, for goodness sake, for communities to get engaged. Rightly or wrongly, I might think it might be a wee bit iffy, and what happens if it all goes horrible or wrong, but by God, today I'm supporting that. So you support it as well.
Councillor Parry, would you care to sum up? You have to accept the amendment. Yes. Mr Blair.
It's the last council meeting of this term, so I'll probably get a wee bit indulgence, and I just draw the council's attention to the points that Councillor Imrie made very vociferously there in his usual style. And also one of the recommendations on page 96, it is proposed that the Director of Resources continues to work with the Trust in the ongoing development of the business plan. And I'll put on record, had it not been for the Director of Resources and my colleagues, the business plan wouldn't have been so well developed, notwithstanding the expertise within the community. A number of my colleagues have worked closely with me and with the community to develop the business plan, and I just feel it's important I put that record down at the last meeting of this council. Thank you, Provost.
Does council support the underwriting of the £670,000 for Roseville Hub? And you accept the recommendations as amended to suit? Thank you. Item 8.4, New Build Council Housing Local Letting Initiative, report by Evelyn McHugh. No? Okay.
Thank you, Provost.
I'll
take this report, Provost. This report proposes a local letting initiative to be used for the allocation of housing in the two phases of new council housing currently being developed at Stobhill Road and Gore Bridge. Following review of the housing allocation policy most recently approved by Council last year, it proposed that a local letting initiative is developed for each new built housing site prior to the allocation of properties. The report references the relevant legislation and guidance to be applied in making best use of the available housing stock and to sustain balanced communities in Midlothian. In section 2.4, it's proposed to prioritise the households that were relocated due to the ground gas emissions incident at Newbyres Crescent and Gore Avenue in Gore Bridge. In section 2.5, this gives the background to other housing needs in the area. And section 2.6 details the housing mix in each phase of the new build development. In section 2.7, the prioritisation for allocations is listed in terms of making first allocations to eligible tenants who were impacted by the demolition works at Newbyres Crescent and Gore Bridge. Secondly, to those existing council tenants in Gore Bridge who are either overcrowded or under-occupying. Thirdly, to homeless or general needs list applicants currently resident in Gore Bridge. And fourthly, to homeless and general needs applicants who are not resident in Gore Bridge but have chosen that as an area of choice. And in section 4, it's recommended to Council that we approve the local letting initiative based on that section 2.7 of ranking. Thank you, Provost.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Councillor Johnson.
Thank you. This is a very welcome addition to our housing stock, especially for those impacted at Newbyres Crescent and Gore Avenue, and I'm sure many of them are looking forward to the new move. They've been anxiously watching the build progress. I admire the work of Robert Franks, who did all he did to stop children working underground in Midlothian, and which is to be highly praised, but I had hoped the names of this street would be called after two local gentlemen who have made a big impact more recently, and absolutely in Gore Bridge. And one gentleman is called David Herkes, and the other gentleman is called William Angus. And I know I have since been given an explanation of why it hasn't been that way, but that is a particular disappointment to the people of Gore Bridge, and I wonder if there's anything we can do to change it to those names rather than Robert Franks.
I have to say that part of my duty is to name streets, and my instruction was that when this particular gentleman, David Herkes, came up, was that the first street available was to be named after Mr. Herkes. So, Councillor Muirhead.
Yeah, I've got a few other things to say, but on that, I checked with the department and the council that's responsible for that, and I've been assured actually that the David Herkes one is going ahead and that the third phase at the back of the estate will be named after David Herkes, and the first two streets at the front after Mr. Franks. But I also had an explanation of the timelines for that, and I think that the decision to name it after Mr. Franks was taken well before anybody had had asked about David Herkes, and then William Angus was raised after I had done that. So it was, by that time, it was really too late to action that. I would have supported ahead of what it's been called as well, having been someone that attended that school under Mr. Angus. Can I just say that I welcome this, this initiative as well, the local letting initiative is welcome here, and I've sought and gained assurances from the Head of Housing that the criteria that we're applying here in terms of the priorities of letting is one in which they'll exhaust the first method, if you like, in terms of residents that were living in New Byers Crescent and Gore Avenue who want to live together in a new estate, and then to go on to allocate the housing to people who are resident in Gorebridge and living in overcrowded conditions, and thereby freeing up another house at the back of that for letting to other people. I absolutely think that is the right way to do it, and I think, you know, going along sustained communities, sustainable communities is what we're, and balanced communities is what we're trying to achieve there. So I absolutely welcome that. I would like to just ask one or two questions, perhaps, of the Head of Housing on one or two other points that he's made in the paper. On page 103, he refers to the social housing allocation, a practice guide, and then talks about noting that legislation allows RSLs to operate separate allocation policies. However, a local letting initiative cannot take into account, and then he lists a number of things that cannot be taken into account. Now, the last one on the list is the ownership of property, and he's indicating that that is subject to change shortly because of the Housing Scotland Act 2014. Now, given that I'm not sure quite when that's coming in, and if you could maybe give us an idea, that would be helpful. But would it be in order for us to bring that or to implement that, even though the Act isn't in place yet? But it is, we know that it is coming in, because, you know, in the situation where we've got 4,500 families or people on the councillors' waiting list, you know, I think it's wrong, and I think the government has now recognised that it's wrong to be allocating properties to people who own their own houses. So is there a possibility of doing something about that? The first one on the list, how long a household has been resident in the area? I recall being challenged when we had just completed the new buyers' houses by a number of people in the area saying, you know, all sorts of allegations. You know what it's like, you've all had it. That, you know, everybody's coming for the town, everybody's coming for Nidre and Craigmillar, and they're filling up their houses. And I asked for an indication from housing as to what sort of percentage was let to people who were living outside in Midlothian. And I'm glad to say that what came back was a very, very small percentage. Unfortunately, there's a wee bit of a hidden thing behind that, because there are people from out with Midlothian who apply to come for housing in Midlothian and are given or guided towards private let. So they may be in a private let for a relative short period of time, and they would have been counted as coming from Midlothian into your houses. So I think that's kind of skewed. And when we're in a situation where, you know, looking at our size, we're punching well above our weight in terms of our overall housing build over the last few years. Our tenants, to their credit, have been prepared to say, I'm prepared to pay extra in my rent to make sure that other people have the benefit of having a council house just like me. I think it's quite right for us to say, hang on a minute, you know, we're not going to attract people from our Scotland, unless they're coming here for a job or that they've got specific care needs, perhaps, or relatives and things like that. But we should be doing as much as we possibly can to restrict the issue in the houses to people from outside Midlothian, for that fairness reason, if nothing else. So the question I've got is that it's described here as a practice guide, and then there's a reference to legislation. Which of those two, if any, are governed by absolute legislation that we cannot do anything about other than campaign for it to change? And which is simply guidance that we might get criticised for it by the inspectorate, but maybe it's something that we should consider doing to make sure that the Midlothian people get the benefit of the housing programme that we've had over the years?
Mr Anderson.
Okay, thank you, Provost. In terms of the order of the questions from Councillor Muirhead, Relative to ownership, that has been recognised in the legislative change which is yet to be enacted, and a commencement order is required to enact that legislation, and our most recent information from Scottish Government is that will be after the local elections, before there's a commencement order. I don't have a precise date for that. We are in regular contact because there are different provisions within that Act which all require commencement orders. Some have already started. This provision hasn't as yet. But the best information I can provide you with is after the local elections is the dateline that we have most recently been advised of. In terms of households being resident within the area, that's reflected in our existing allocation policy to take account of people being resident in the area and how long they've been on the list, in terms of we make provision of resident points for those who are employed or living in Midlothian already. We allocate points specifically for that. That particular point is in relation to guidance rather than legislation. The initial one I addressed was legislation. And also in terms of waiting time, we don't ascribe any limit to that. We used to under the previous allocation policy of 2009, but we didn't when we last changed the allocation policy, precisely to reflect the fact of how long people are on the waiting list within the area. So there's a combination of residency points and waiting time which pretty much address precisely those local concerns that are being made to Councillor Muirhead. I think that was your questions.
Councillor Muirhead.
If it is the case, Provost, that it is in guidance in terms of the amount of time, whether you can take into account the time a household has been resident here, I think that's something that we need to look at. I'm not moving that we change things today, but I think that's something. If we've got some leeway on that, then I think that it's something that we should be looking at changing our policy to include the amount of time that the applicant has been resident in Midlothian, on top of this issue of waiting, waiting points on the list. That's something I think we absolutely need to look at. The legislation that I'm referring to is going to be enacted after the elections. If it was before we started to let these properties, I take it we would just go along that route if it's in time for that?
Yes, to give confirmation, as soon as legislation is enacted, we would implement that, whatever date that was. There would be an implementation date ascribed to the commencement order. In terms of your former point about the period of residence in the area, we can certainly take that away and have consultations with the Scottish Housing Regulator because we'd want to be compliant clearly with all those expectations as well as legislation. Access to housing itself is a legislative requirement regardless of any other guidance that's come out, and the legislation is quite specific in terms of who is eligible, and all UK and presently EU citizens aged over 16 are eligible to apply for housing to a local authority if they've got leave to remain or residency in the UK. But the points that you've made this afternoon in terms of local connections are addressed in the points that we've got in our own housing allocation policy.
Can I just ask a simple question? In one of the lists there, it says you're going to build cottage flats. I worked in the building trade all my life and I've never heard of a cottage flat. Could you please explain what that is?
Yes, that's in terms of having a main door access to the property rather than a shared stair. So that's the definition of that. So you've got a main door access, exclusive access into your property, straight off into the house itself.
Well, it's nice to know that I now live in a cottage flat. Councillor de Jong.
Thanks, Provost. Yes, I would just echo what Councillor Muirhead has said, and also I think the thrust of the report about the benefit of these local letting initiatives. With your indulgence, Provost, I might just emphasise the importance of a strong local letting initiative like this when it comes round for the development planned in Pathhead at the end of Crichton Avenue. Kevin's been generous in his time in talking me through previously. A lot of young people in that particular village feel the need to leave Pathhead to find accommodation, which is a big change if that is where they have been brought up and where their family are all located. And when these flats go ahead, which I think are very welcome, a strong local letting initiative would help to amend that problem. And understand from discussions with officers that the governance of that is that it would go to a future cabinet, I think. But I just simply wish to use my final contribution in the chamber to make the case for a strong a local letting initiative that favours people from Pathhead as much as possible. Thank you, Provost.
Councillor Milligan.
Provost, I'll be quite brief. I have to say that I agree with everything that's been said here today. It's really important for us to get this right. Irrespective of what the regulator says here, this is local Midlothian people. It's no council tax, it's no other monies, it's their rent money. And I've got to acknowledge the money now being put in by the Scottish Government as well. But the reality here is we're faced with a ticking time bomb in Midlothian, where we have many elderly families that are looking for family support, and we have families spread all across Midlothian here that want to come back to support families. This council is going to struggle to have the funds and to deal with the ageing population that we've got. So therefore, the more families that are closer, tighter together, the better for us, because families are willing to take some of the strain that the councils are facing. But they have to be near to where their relatives are. So there has to be something here that we put in to start awarding these houses to local families with local connections and that want to be near to support families when possible, because it's going to be at a critical stage. In fact, it's already at a critical or substantial stage before the council has the resource to help here. So it's really important that we see local families be moved as close to their mothers, their fathers, grandfathers and grandmothers to support them as we can. So it is a really important issue for us here.
Councillor Johnson.
Thank you. Just in support of what Kenny and Derek have said, because many young people, when they're applying for a house, they put down every area in Midlothian because they want a house, they need a house, they need to move on with their lives. So they accept the first house available in the hope. So if you're a Gorebridge person, you accept a house in Dalkeith or Pennycook, and with a view to putting your name on the transfer list to getting back to your the area you belong to. So it's I think it's important that some kind of recognition is given to those people. And I know that's possible because I've worked in other housing providers who do that. Thank you.
Councillor Beattie.
Thank you. If I could just add my voice to the sentiments already expressed by colleagues here today. I think that Councillor Young cites the position that Pathhead residents find themselves in, and like Councillor Young, I've actually had very extensive discussions for many years with Kevin Anderson, to whom I've already in previous meetings expressed my gratitude for his patience and his ingenuity in trying to think outside the box as to how to expand housing stock on a limited geographical area. And I think it's really important that we recognise we are a semi-rural, still a semi-rural county, and we have a great need, as everywhere does, for that interdependency of generational support. It's family networks that make it all work, make it all hang together, and that's as it should be. And it's very difficult when, as councillors, we're confronted by families trying to live in very cramped conditions because of lack of alternative accommodation without moving out with that area where that network exists. We know that it's often the grandparents who are providing the childcare that makes it possible for the younger people to go to college or take up training courses or university courses elsewhere, or even actually take up jobs. I think it's very important that we do recognise that there have been some terrific initiatives from this housing authority, and I think we should be very proud of that. We have this idea that Midlothian is a great place to grow, and I think it really is, but it does mean we'll need to put a great deal more effort and energy of the similar kind we've already seen into more enterprising solutions, making it possible for people not to have to go and take up a private let in the nearest possible place, and it might sometimes even be Edinburgh. And we celebrate our younger people, and we should continue to support all that's possible with housing to make it possible for them to stay in our communities and thrive. And I do endorse comments made by Councillor Johnson and others in this regard. And thank you again to Kevin Anderson and his team for all that they do to make it possible.
Thank you. I'm sure the Head of Housing will take that on board that's been said there. Does Council accept the recommendations in the report? Thank you. Move to item 8.5, creating a world-class education service, positive destination update. Report by Dr. Vickers.
Thank you. I'm committed to the creation of a world-class education system. The purpose of this report is to inform Council that 95.1% of Mid Lothian school leavers have now secured a positive destination. This is the highest recorded figure that Mid Lothian have ever achieved, with Mid Lothian school leaver destinations now 1.8% higher than the national average. The Scottish Government report, Initial Destinations of Senior Phase School Leavers, is attached to this report as Appendix 1, and it provides information on initial destinations and outlines the performance across the 32 local authorities, with Mid Lothian now ranking joint fourth place. Section 2 of the report outlines the background information and includes trend data showing a three-year positive pattern where Mid Lothian is above the national average. However, committed to continuous improvement, page 110 of this report outlines 9 actions which we will take forward over the course of next year. The report concludes with 3 recommendations. Firstly, to note the progress made in positive destinations, to congratulate our school leavers on securing an initial positive destination, and to thank staff, partners and the third sector for the continued hard work and commitment ensuring that young people progress into positive destinations.
Thank you, Dr. Vickers. Councillor Constable.
Thank you, Provost, and thank you, Grace. An excellent report. Good news story. This is the last report to the last council of the session and the last report in the public sector. And it's really good to end on such a good news story as this. Way back in 2012, we languished at the bottom of the scale, and now, as Grace has said, we're at fourth. Tremendous effort. If you look at the recommendations, we can note the progress, but the second and third bullet point are most important. Congratulate our school leavers on securing an initial positive destination, and thank the staff, partners in the third sector, and of course our directors and heads of service and all our officials in our education service for this wonderful achievement in moving us right up this table. So this is last time I'll be speaking after alluded to 10 years in Mid Lothian Council on this, so it's really good to end in this tremendous positive note. And think of the progress that the education service has made in the last years, just in the short time that I've had this portfolio. You can think of the number of times I've had to go out with a silver spade and dig up ground for schools. That's a wonder I've got a sore back. And the number of times we've appointed, and this will come into the private section, the number of head teachers that we've appointed to all our new schools. It's been a great privilege, and I'm very glad to have had this time to do it. I want to thank everyone involved.
Thank you, Councillor Constable, and congratulations on having such a good report to go out on. Councillor Bennett.
Chair, I'll be very brief. Like Bob, it's my last council meeting. Although Bob's got the experience of being a school teacher for many years. It's 55 years ago when I left his school, and positive destinations was never mentioned at that time. In fact, I mentioned it to a boy in the pub, and he says, was it running at Cheltenham last week? He thought he was an MRS horse. But there's no doubt it's a good report, and I would just like to say, in finishing up, that I've enjoyed my time on the council. I'd like to thank all the officers that's helped me. I'm not going to mention them individually. John Blair, I'll probably still see you at some meetings that we go to. No here, by the way, but they don't mess up with it. But the Dalkeith ward and the area I live in is going to be one of the biggest expanding areas in Mid Lothian. And Mid Lothian in general is going to really expand. And I hope the new elected councillors take on board and work together for the benefit of the communities that they represent, because I think that's crucial. And I can say that myself, Jim, Ryan and Margot, most issues we worked on, and we've always had a a friendly relationship. I think Jim was done dirty with what happened to him, but there you go. I believe he's starting again. I wish Margot and Jim all the best for the Dalkeith ward, because I can. There are going to be people in that ward that's going to stand up for the Dalkeith Dandenong community. And I'll still be there. I'll not be an elected member, but I'll still be a voice in the community, and I'm very capable of organising. So thanks to everybody that supported us.
Thanks, Councillor Bennett, and wishing you well in your retirement. Councillor Coventry.
I see there'll be a cruise ship the next time you're here in a council meeting.
Councillor Coventry.
Boy, this is a fantastic report, a fantastic report. I don't think we're singing the praises enough about it, actually. Joint fourth place. There's some ways you can read the statistics that we're the second best local authority in a view of positive destinations in Scotland, only bettered by East Renfrewshire, the stockbroker belt of Glasgow. Figures like these aren't meant to happen in former mining areas in this post-industrial age. So, Dr. Vickers, you and your staff have done a fantastic job. You're obviously doing something right. You know, the activity workers supporting young people at risk of negative destinations, the AIM Hire programme. I spoke to a young person just recently who had been unemployed, had gone on the AIM Hire construction programme. He is now working as an apprentice scaffolder. But not only that, he had two other offers of apprenticeships at the end of that programme. So, you know, it's just fantastic. When you consider that 5 years ago that Midlothian was the second worst local authority in Scotland as regards positive destinations, we've obviously done something right and something that other local authorities will be looking at. And I think it's something we've really got to, you know, praise the whole council for, and particularly your staff, Dr. Vickers, you and your staff.
Councillor Muirhead.
Just following on for everybody that's, you know, that's intending to leave, I feel it's almost presumptuous as somebody that's standing again not to say the same. Can I echo what's been said here in terms of this report? It is an excellent report, and credit where credit's due. And the credit's actually due to the officers that have come up with this initiative, because I know in my discussions that I have on a regular basis with both the director and head of service that this hasn't been an easy thing, and it's been innovative, and it's been about the real application or effort by individuals concerned in going out and having a lot of hands-on work with the youngsters that are leaving our school, and some of them beyond that, that's made this such a success. So, absolutely, thanks to them and their staff who have made this transformation possible.
Anyone else? OK. Reverend Halley, thank you.
Thank you, Provost. I'd just like to add my voice too in congratulating the Council, Dr. Grace Vickers, and all the education staff who work centrally and in our local schools, who have transformed the outcome for so many of our young people. Today we've heard about figures and percentages and national comparisons, and how good it is to know that the destinations of Midlothian school leavers has improved so significantly that over 95% of our young people now go on from school into positive destinations. Especially as we know that behind the figures are the real lives of young people from our communities and their families. And as a school's chaplain, I can attest to the dedication of staff at the school where I'm the chaplain, Pennycook High School, in creating a whole school ethos which engenders this outcome, and in going the extra mile to provide additional support on an individual basis to pupils who might otherwise have been less fortunate. Their professionalism, their compassion and care deserve our thanks and commendation. It's particularly commendable to see that far from resting on our laurels, our schools plan to build on this success with a commitment to a preventative approach which starts in nursery and with a laudable appreciation of the benefits of engaging young people themselves in shaping the future approach to this important work. So on behalf of the three religious representatives, I'd like to commend them on this report and the good work which lies behind it.
Before we move into private business, I would like to thank all the officers and members of staff in Midlothian Council for all the help they've given to each and every one of us over the 5 years, and I'm sure you'll continue to do so for the next administration and the incoming councillors for next time.
Just briefly, Provost, it is our last meeting, and I think I speak on behalf of the three church representatives, because obviously we're in a slightly different category here, to thank all the elected members and, of course, the officials for their support over this period. You've always been very courteous to us. You've tried to respect our position, and we very, very much appreciate that. And I wish all the best to those members who are standing down. You've been good friends, and you've been very helpful. I look in all directions in the chamber. You've always been very supportive. Thank you, and I wish you all the best in your future activities. And just finally, to recognise that Margaret, who has been with me now for two rounds of this council, will, of course, be standing down. I thank her personally for all her support, and she's contributed quietly to many of the debates. And I know that Margaret does a tremendous amount of work in other areas of support in this council. So thank you very much, Margaret, and thank you to all the elected members in this chamber.
Provost. Councillor De Vink.
We have heard that this is the last meeting, but I understand that there's going to be an extraordinary meeting about the city deal. Could we hear the Chief Executive comment on that?
Mr. Lawry?
Provost, it has now been announced that there will not be a city deal in advance of the local elections. That was something we learnt from the UK and Scottish governments last week. There will not be a city deal in advance of the local elections.
Thank you. It's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Councillor Johnson.
I did send a copy of the governmental letter, the joint letter, to everyone, and I did include Peter De Vink. Didn't you receive it? If you haven't received it, I can resend it.
Copy of the letter?
There was a joint governmental letter from Lord Dunlop and Keith Brown, and I sent every councillor a copy of that letter. One, was that last week?
Yes.
Yes, did you? Yes. Okay, I'll resend it to you.
Okay, I want to thank everyone and can now ask the members of the public to leave the chambers.